84SRR radio check.
Peggy 4SLR, this is KO4WWZ. You sound very good into the earth here, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm on high power right now. If you don't mind, I'm going to dial down to the next notch and try it. Over.
Roger that. Go ahead.
KD4SRR back on 30 watts. Didn't see a reason to run 80 if I didn't have to. Over.
Roger that. You're coming into a theater, push the plane on 30 watts.
Roger that. Thank you. And is there much difference in white noise or interference, anything? Over.
Noise, but you're very loud and you're very audible, and I can read you 100%. So there is not a problem here on my end.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't like running 80 for a lot of reasons, including, despite Yazoo's claims that the heat sink does well, I don't like running this 2980 with no fan running on it at high power. Over.
100%. The Yazoo I have, which was the SG1802, only ran high power at 50 watts, and I didn't like to run it hot either, and I hadn't got a fan for it.
Yeah, excuse me there. I have been able to get back into, I believe this is Caesar's head. I have been able to get back in to this repeater for quite a while, but I remember I used to hit it occasionally down in Columbia with a homemade beam in a friend's attic. Over.
Yeah, I hear you on that. What's your TTH, by the way? And my name is Ken, Charlie Hotel Alpha November.
Yeah, the name is Robert, and QTH is Joanna, South Carolina, 29351. Over.
Yeah, Joanna, is that be close to Newberry County, Joanna Whitmire?
Miles west of Whitmire and about 15 miles northwest of Newberry.
Down there close to Columbia, and you're coming into the repeaters very, very well. You're doing a good job. What kind of antenna are you running right now?
Have a not homemade J-pole. About maybe 20 feet to the tip in the air, strapped to a pole holding up the garage. That's the kind of rig I have right now, but at least I got that going. I'm going to get me some conduit brackets and try to secure it a little bit better than with a piece of rope.
I think I may have went into a bad a black hole grease meter. Can you repeat that? I heard the J pole on the garage.
Power on that. I got a J-pole. It's maybe 20 feet in the air, if that much. Tied to the exterior garage with a rope right now. I had to get it up quick yesterday. I'm going to get some more permanent stuff from the Ace Hardware to lash it to the garage. But all I'm able to afford right now is RR8X or whatever. I couldn't afford the LMR or the 213.
You get what you can afford, and that's what we got to do. It sounds just as good, my friend. Very impressive.
Very much. The two repeaters I wanted to get northwest or north of me was Caesar's Head and Mount Mitchell. And I've already hit Mount Mitchell. I've done real well on that course. It's 6,600 feet. It ought to reach it from there. That's a high enough elevation. But Caesar's Head's the other one that I wanted, and I have been able to listen, even on a handy talkie, but I wanted to be able to get in once in a while. Well, I do appreciate it, and I'm going to let you go. Thank you for getting back with you. Like I said again, the name's Robert. QTH is Joanna, South Carolina, a.k.a. the Wild King. One day, I think I got that name. But I do appreciate it. So, thanks again, 73s. Enjoy your weekend. Looks like it's going to be a pretty one. And I'll maybe make contact with you later on. This is KD4SRR Robert Clear.
This is KO from WWZ. 73 to you, Robert, and God bless you. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and thank you very much for the Q-Set. And I was happy to be able to help you. KO from WWZ, Clear.
4HKX,
K4CHY,
still around back.
K4CHY, standing by me. JW, K4BWA. K4BWA, KO4HKX. Set KO4HKX, clear.
HKX, K4CHY, and they're putting together another cheesesteak.
One more time, Keith. I had the volume up too loud. Muffled on my end.
I was in the kitchen putting together another cheesesteak. I was in between cheesesteaks. Over.
Between cheesesteaks. I get you.
Wife being out of town, she don't like onions and bell peppers. So when she goes out of town, this is usually one of my things that I'll cook for me, and I'm just kind of finishing up the leftovers.
I'm not a big onions and bell pepper fan myself, but my wife loves them. I will eat them occasionally, but not my favorite thing. But yeah, I had me some leftover pizza for lunch today. Now I'm out here mowing the grass and need to take a break for a minute.
I was doing some of that yesterday evening myself, and I got about the neighbor behind me come over, so the rest of the day, like, talking to him. Over.
This is the first time I've had to do it this year, though, so it's not too bad. The weather's about 3 weeks behind y'all up here is what I've noticed.
Sounds about right, because I cut mine a couple of weeks ago. Didn't think it was that bad, you know, being early in the season like this for growing. And the front yard wasn't that bad. And I went back to the backyard last night, yesterday evening to cut. And it's like, oh, man, I should have been out here a week earlier.
Even to that point, I just, today's supposed to be my office day, but I'm using it as one of them get around to it days. The days have been putting off to get around to it.
I know how that goes, too. I get around to it days, but sometimes I still don't get around to it. It depends on what it is that needs to be getting around to.
Well, they're calling for rain up here tomorrow, so I've got a ditch or a culvert I got to go get cleaned out before the end of the day, too.
A chance tomorrow, too. I'm going to try to get out there and, maybe I need a better muffler on the mower. That way the neighbor won't hear me out there. But yeah, I need to try to get it finished up this evening before the chance of rain tomorrow.
I'm going to jump back off here and finish up this mowing. But again, I'd like to get with you on some DMR stuff and maybe that 700 when I get tore into it and find out a little bit about what's going on. But hey, right quick, which channel do you monitor on, or talk group do you monitor on your DMR radio?
Hotspot, so there is a South Carolina Upstate talk group, 31457, I believe it is. That's mostly what I have it on. Repeaters, I haven't looked at them to see what's available lately. The PRN network, usually it was just on the main PRN channel, because I think they got rid of 3100, but I'm not sure.
Either. But do you know if PRN's linked with SC Hart? I didn't get any of that last transmission.
Saying I believe that's the case. I believe SD Hart takes care of the South Carolina PRN repeaters. They don't have the analog SD Hart repeaters on it, but I believe they do maintain the South Carolina repeaters over.
Code plug for that?
Got to redo my code plug. My code plug got, for the repeaters, got trashed. It lost some contact, so I need to redo that, but I'm going to be doing that tomorrow because that buddy of mine, his friend needs one program that's like mine, so I'll be getting that straightened out. I've actually got a 878 on the way. It should be here tomorrow also, so I will soon have a code plug for that. Over.
That's what I'm using, the 878, the 878 Plus, the version 1. I have a South Carolina Hart code plug, but I don't know how to merge it with my Ultra code plug that I got from BridgeCom. So I don't know how to do that. I haven't figured that part out yet.
Yeah, and I had problems. That's how my code plug got messed up on the repeaters. Is I've had problems trying to merge stuff. So anymore, I just basically go from scratch or take a good code plug that I have and, you know, modify it. But if you do the merging stuff, make sure you go back through and look at your channels and make sure it's got the right contacts in it, because that's what has to be.
I have them both saved individually. That way, if something does happen, I can just always revert back to that. But that's kind of where I'm at with DMR, and I'm using a hotspot also up here at the house there. But I can hit the WOT something, I can't remember what it is. It's part of the Western North Carolina network of repeaters up here, and it's got pretty good coverage. I mean, it goes all the way up to Charlotte just for the WNC. Can't remember the talk group number, but I can hit the repeater from up here on 7 watts on it, so.
Be nice. I've looked at the
KO4HKXK and 4BWA.
End up getting a hot spot, so I don't really use it. And where I'm at, I have a hard time getting into local repeaters anyway with an HD, so. I usually go by the hot spot. But yeah, I'll look and see if I can get some of those talk groups in there. Maybe I can hear you on there sometime.
Heard you, Steve, so go ahead.
Hey, I didn't mean to step. I'm sorry about that, guys. Had the volume turned down, and I didn't realize y'all were transmitting. So, anyhow, good Lord, do you know what diesel's running over here in my area right now, Patrick?
That off, you got a little quick on them speaking before the mic was pushed.
519.
That yesterday when I got diesel fuel.
I just cannot see a justification for it.
We will pay it.
I don't care who's listening. You read the bumper, the sticker on the back of my tailgate, didn't you?
I didn't pay any attention when I come in.
Just debating whether I'm going to say it over the air or not. But I'll tell you what, our present administration bears the entire brunt of this. And I'm just about fed up with the whole thing, I'm telling you.
For HKX, I'm right there with you, Steve, but at this point, there's really nothing we can do about it. Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, I got a mouthful of cheese steak over.
Right.
I'm going to be down at the Westgate Mall here in just a few minutes, and I'm going to hit the food court with the prettiest girl in the whole country.
Radio, she's in the truck with you. I heard her last night fussing at you about it. Not paying her any attention when you're driving.
I'm on the way down to meet her, ding dong.
Hard time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I listen. I think there was something wrong if y'all didn't give me a hard time. Carl, jump in there and take up for me, Ken.
His lunch, his Philly cheesesteak, his second one.
Say, what can I say except,
Have a good time at the meet last night.
Informative, and, I hope I didn't ask any stupid questions. I just never have encountered anything like that, and I just wanted to make sure I had my bases covered.
We've been told the only question, or the only stupid question is the one not asked. So, I didn't think you'd done anything wrong. And I don't think anybody else did either.
Pretty much the rest of them are experienced, though. So, you know, for them it was covering cloud ground, but not for me. Well, that was nice to meet Ann and Steve. They're nice folks.
Keep talking to them. I was going to try to get out there, but I got to talking about with Robin and spending a little time with him, and y'all were gone before I got out there.
Hey, I heard you mention that beam. So you got a beam up?
Beam up that I bought from AK's estate. I bought the rotator and the poles and the beam from him, or from his estate. And I've got the one you got sitting here waiting to go up on the tower when I put it up permanently.
Okay, okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. I was just wondering how that thing was going to do. I should have held on to it because I never thought I'd really need a 2-meter beam. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. I went ahead and bought that one from DX Engineering for our purposes. And, boy, it works good.
I'm actually thinking about turning this one, letting the tower down and then turning it horizontal. Since my vertical is doing such a good job getting into the repeater now, I don't really need the beam. So I can kind of do away with it, and I can use it for 2-meter sideband.
But the element's vertical right now, and you're going to turn it horizontal so you can use 2-meter sideband, right?
I'm thinking about doing.
Look, Jet, and who was that I was talking to yesterday? That was Andrew. Yeah. He's doing 2-meter sideband. And, shoot. As soon as we get done doing what we're doing, I may turn mine sideways, you know, horizontal, and see if I can do some 2-meter sideband. Because, now, you got a 991A, and have we got sideband for 2-meter on that?
It works pretty good, too. Andrew and I have made contact from my house to his through all this dirt that's in between us. Now, it was not the best of contact, but we did make contact on 2-meter single sideband. And it was vertically oriented at the time. So I think that's pretty impressive.
Sideband, right?
Time.
I said that's upper sideband, right?
Correct.
I tell you what, now say that's something else now I'm going to have to get into. You guys, every time I turn around, new challenge.
Key 2-meter single sideband is what I've been wanting to get into for a while, for more regional communication stuff. So that's what I've been working toward since I got my technician license.
Right. Well, wait a minute, no, you went and got your extra, didn't you?
General, I don't have my extra yet.
I got to go ahead and buckle down and start studying to get that extra.
KB4CBA.
Go ahead, Dave.
Dave, you know you love to hear my melodious voice on 2 meters. And I'm not sure, is that Patrick in there? It sounds like Patrick, but anyway, I haven't heard your call signs, but I just started listening. Anyway, is there that much activity on 2-meter sideband?
At the moment, there is a fair amount, but it's not like you're going to get on there and make contact every day. There's several nets up and down the East Coast that get on Thursday nights. You can actually go on Facebook, and there's a 2-meter single sideband Facebook group. You can get on there and find out more about it. But it gives you a longer range of communication. Like Andrew the other day is working on one down in the middle of Alabama from his house, which is over 200 miles on 2 meter single sideband.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew you could work, you know, greater distance, but I just wondered about the activity.
You know, I just realized when I go on to N3FJP or on QRZ, there are 2 meter single sidebands. Man, they use that a lot over in Europe and in the Middle East.
And just think, the bands are just now starting to open up what the capability is going to be here in the next year or two.
You know what? I wonder if my amp will do 2 meter. I got that 811H. I'm going to have to find out about that. If I pop a few watts onto that 811H, I might just be able to hit some of that stuff that I'd seen on there before that I just didn't really recognize or do anything about. Huh.
I don't think it goes below 80 meters, maybe 70, 80 meters.
Carry on, KO4, HKX, and I'll be clear. Have a good day.
It's below 70, 80 meters, Dave.
For amplifier.
No, I can get 10 meter on it. And there was a thing in there where I could clip a wire to get that, but I just don't know if it'll go down to that 2 meter level. Like I said, I'm just going to have to find out about that. That's interesting. Well, listen, I just pulled up at the Westgate Mall, and I'm going to go in and have lunch with the prettiest girl in the world in here. So I'll talk to you later, Bubby. 73, y'all. K4BWA. Dave, Ken is still in there somewhere. He's noshing on a Philly cheesesteak or something or other. Y'all carry on. I'll talk to you later. K4BWA. I'm clear.
Steve, I meant to say 10 meters. I don't know why I said 80. Lord, it might get down to 6 or up to 6. But anyway, well, have a good one. And, anybody else that's in there, jump in. This is KB4CBA.
KB4CBA, KN4CHY. Steve over here. Yeah, just finished the last Philly cheesesteak and on the verge of a food coma. Go ahead.
KN4CHY, KB4CBA. All right, David. Well, are you in Seneca or what are you up to since you're finished your lunch?
I'm in Seneca, and I go by Keith. Actually, I know QRZ says David, but I actually go by Keith. Tried to get that changed to the FCC, but I guess I didn't submit enough documentation, and they rejected it. But yeah, I work from home, so I was taking a break and finishing up some leftover Philly cheesesteak stuff that I made the other night. I finished it up, but it was like 3 hot dog sized Philly cheesesteaks, so I'm about stuffed, over.
I did till about, yeah, 3 o'clock. Wow. Well, sorry about that. I remember that now that you mention it. But you should be able to, you might not be able to change it with the FCC, you might could, but it'd probably be a headache. But anyway, but you could probably change it on QRZ. Just by going to your page, and if you're on QRZ, yeah, you are on QRZ, and then hit edit, and it should let you change your name. I wouldn't getting matching. I haven't tried to do that because I don't need to.
Roger, with my folks' decision to call me by my middle name, I got called David a lot anyway, so it don't bother me either way. But, I went down that path, and you can't change it on QRZ. They actually pull the FCC information for your license. And I submitted the change to the FCC, and they rejected it, saying I didn't provide supporting documentation. So the only thing I can figure is they need a birth certificate to actually, because, you know, my signature name is my middle initial. So they wouldn't change it, just me asking them to change it. I guess I'm going to have to submit my birth certificate to show them that that is actually my middle name. Over.
See that while you were talking, I went to my, call sign and when I hit edit and got to change your name, address, whatever, it has a green box and it says this notice items in this area require an FCC update to change, and then it has a place to click on FCC updates or update. Dang. Oh, me. Well, don't feel too bad. My wife rode with my sister. She lives in Maggie Valley, but they used to live in Laurinburg, North Carolina, which is out east in the flatlands of North Carolina, almost at the South Carolina line. In Scotland County, but anyway, they went because her husband passed away, and he had a safety deposit box. Well, she couldn't find the key, so they had to drill it out, and so the guy, you know, met him there to drill it out, and so they were all excited, you know, to see what was in the box. Well, it was the title, or not the title, the original window sticker to his, I think it was a 1996 Trans Am that he used to own, and I just thought to myself, that guy's been paying $40 a year for who knows how many years to keep that window sticker in there. I told her, and she had to pay $150 to get it open, so I said, I'd frame that thing and put it on the wall.
Yeah, Roger, that I think I would too. And not even like the title or anything to where you might want to put that in a safety deposit box for safekeeping, but just the window sticker. Yeah, that's hilarious. We used to get over that area quite a bit. I don't know if you know where Smithfield, North Carolina is. Late in-laws lived in Smithfield, so we used to travel that area quite a bit.
Smithfield, what's that near a larger city?
Well, not north of where you're talking about, but it's right along I-95 there. It seems like it's, it's been so many years, I can't place any big towns. Smithfield was about a big town around that area. But, yeah, it's just north of where you're talking about, South Carolina border, right there, right on 95. In fact, there's a KOA campground at the exit. They lived on Campground Road. And so if you ever go up through there and see the KOA campground in Smithfield, that's where they were at.
Okay. Well, you know, and the funny thing about, I guess you had the same problem with, if you try to travel there from Greenville, there's no direct way to get there. You can take two-lane roads, but if you want to take interstate, you either got to go to Charlotte and go out 74, or you got to go down to Columbia and go out 20. And you know, it really sounds funny to be, you telling somebody you're going to Laurinburg, North Carolina, and you're going to go down to Columbia. And, you know, something about that just doesn't make a lot of sense. But really, it's, you know, the two ways are about, you know, the same, probably 5-10 minutes difference, and neither one of them are you know, a real pleasant drive. You got to go through Charlotte, or you got to go through Columbia, and Columbia's, you know, it's a nightmare here lately, last few years, and anyway, but if you look on a map, South Carolina, North Carolina, and you could put a level on Greenville and get it level and draw a straight line across the map, it would probably intersect Laurinburg or Scotland County, but there ain't no roads that go that direction, you know, directly.
For CVA, K4 CHY, yeah, I know what you mean. And I did think of Cary, North Carolina, is basically, I think, about due west of Smithfield. So Smithfield is along the interstate there, and Cary is a little farther inland. So if you know Cary, that'll give you an idea of where it's at. In fact, I've got an old roommate from Baton Rouge that now lives in Cary, and I've not been out there to see her yet. She's a hard lady to nail down, so one of these days we'll get together. But yeah, I experienced that same thing. We used to go up there, we lived in Savannah, we used to go up there from Savannah, so you just hop on 95 and hop back off of 95, you're there. And then we moved up here, and you're right, you can't get there from here. They're gone now, so we don't make that trip anymore, but going down to Savannah, you can't get there from here either. We tend to do back roads down through northeastern Georgia to get to Savannah anymore. Over.
KB4CBA. Well, it is what it is. I did take a two-lane road. I went down 385 before you get to 26, I believe. Or heck, I don't know. Maybe you get on 26, but it's long before you get to Columbia. You exit off on, I can't remember the number of the highway, but it's a two-lane road, and I think eventually it goes to four-lane, but it's like, you know, 55 miles an hour. And you can go that way and avoid a lot of traffic, but it still takes the same length of time. So, and you go through some small towns and stuff. So, it's just it is what it is. Well, I tell you, but we don't have to go there anymore. Like I said, they moved to Laurinburg, and then her husband passed away, and he grew up there in Laurinburg. And they moved to Maggie Valley, and then he passed away. So she's still living up there, and she's talking about maybe moving back to Greenville. We both grew up here, and I've lived here other than living in Charleston for 2.5 years. I've lived here all my life, so I just love the upstate, you know, and. I mean, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can go to the mountains, you can go to the beach, and and it's nice here. So I'm not complaining.
Yes, sir. When we first moved to the upstate, we moved to Fountain Inn, and just loved that little town back then. Anyway, I've been over here in Seneca now for 26, 27 years. So you can imagine what Fountain Inn was like back in them days. And talking about the Savannah trips, back then when we were in Fountain Inn, we just hit 385 and down to 26 and over to 95 and down. It was
not a short distance, but it was an easy drive. And man, once we moved over here, it wasn't worth, you know, that backtracking around to get to that route. So we just started cutting through Georgia. But yeah, I had heard you talking about running up to you, sisters, here in the last week or two. We used to go up there as kids on camping trips and stuff. Used to love that area. Yeah, I just love the upstate too. I was never much of a beach person and lived in Savannah for way too long. And when we moved up here to Fountain Inn first, and then over here, we just fell in love with it. I don't know that I've been to a beach since. Over.
My wife and I are more mountain loving people than the beach. And my parents, they used to have a place up in Maggie Valley, right in the main part of Maggie. I don't know really how to describe it other than there were it's where they held all their events. You know, they have like coming from here, it would be on your right on the main drag there, and it was on the right, and it was just a field, and it was their arena for you know, their car shows and everything that they had, and they still do events almost every weekend. They have something, and and there's stores all along there. Anyway, my parents had a house up on the hill there, on the mountain, about halfway up, had a beautiful view of the sunset and all that. And so when my sister and her husband inherited that, he didn't like it because it was too small. And so they sold it and bought another house. And anyway, and so, but she likes it up there, and she just bought her a brand new Jeep, a 22 Jeep, and Willie's Jeep. And so she's enjoying it up there.
After living in South Louisiana and then Savannah, it's getting up here in this area. It's a nice change of climate, that's for sure. get away from the humidity. We still have our share of humidity, but it's nothing like them two places were. I had an aunt and uncle. They're both gone now too. They had a camper permanently docked there in Cherokee. So, you know, it's nothing for us to run up there and spend the weekend with them when we didn't have nothing better to do. And then my little brother was in the Navy. He was in Norfolk. And he basically seemed like every other weekend he'd have some extra days. And he'd come out here and we explored all over the upstate and western North Carolina, doing hiking trails and hunting waterfalls, and just a good old time. He's up in Maine now, so we don't get to do any of that anymore, but sure enjoyed that time.
Well, it's fun. I enjoy going up to Maggie. I've ridden my motorcycle up there. I used to ride it up there, they had a heck of a driveway too. It was actually a street, and it just stopped right before it got in front of their house, and it was just gravel, and then it went up a steep, made a sharp left, 90-degree left turn, and went up a steep grade, and it was gravel, and then it kind of more or less leveled off, and you went into their carport. And I could get my bike up there. I was pretty handy with it. It was 1100 at the time, and I'd ride it up there, and then I take it out on a parkway. The parkway is about 7 miles north of there, and so I get on the parkway and ride. I tell you, it was so much fun, because during the week, there was hardly anybody on it, and, you know, you were just out up there by yourself and just having a good old time, you know, just cruising the parkway and enjoying the view.
That's one regret that I do have, being up here and not having a motorcycle anymore. I used to have a Kawasaki 900 C1B and used to do a lot of pleasure riding like that, but it was mostly in flat Louisiana. But I had one street in Baton Rouge that I could go out and get some nice windy curves on, and that was about the extent of it. You know, other than that, it was just getting out to ride to go somewhere or visit somebody or something. And, yeah, I sure do wish I had another bike, but get kind of old for that kind of thing, and the wife ain't too fond of them, so I guess to keep the peace, I won't have one for a while anyway. Over.
For CBA, I was just dragging my feet there in case somebody wanted to jump in. Yeah, I've had several bikes, and yeah, my wife bought me my first one. It was like my first bike was a Kawasaki Vulcan 750, and it was a good little bike. It was great for short distance. It wasn't real comfortable, you know, like for a cruiser on the highway for a long distance, but you know, you could take a 3 or 4 hour ride on it, and so you know, I'd ride up Caesar's Head or ride up on Highway 11 and go north or south, just depending on what kind of mood I was in. And but then I switched to the Honda Shadow 1100, and I could stretch out a little bit more on that bike, and I had several of those, and then I sold I guess about the fourth or fifth one I owned, and bought a Honda Valkyrie, which is same thing as a Gullwing. It just doesn't have all the fairing on it. It looks more like a cruiser bike, and it does have the hard bags on the back that are, you know, painted to match the bike, and it's a nice looking bike. The guy that had it took really good care of it, but it's, gosh, it's 22 years old, and it's more than that. It's a 97, so that's what, 23 years old, I think, doing the math right. Heck no, it's older than that. It's 25 years old. But, so it's hard to find parts for it, but it's in great shape, and it's got tons of power. I'd say, I think it's about 135 horsepower, so on that little thing, I mean, on a motorcycle, that's a lot of power, because, you know, it weighs about 750 pounds, and, of course, weighs a little more than that with me on it, but anyway.
For CHY, yeah, I heard Dave and Daniel, I believe it was, talking about Dave talked about having a Hayabusa. I had no idea either. That's what Daniel had let in with. He didn't know he had a Hayabusa. Well, I'd love to wrap my legs around one of them tanks, that's for sure. But yeah, the old 900, it was the old, you know, just classic Japanese street bike. It was just stupid fast for its time. Probably the fastest production motorcycle on the market up until the Suzuki came out with their 1100. And you know, now all the all the crotch rockets like that, or you know, things like the Hayabusa, the Ninja, kind of a, what we used to always think of as cafe racer style. I wish somebody still made an old classic street bike like the old 900. In fact, Kawasaki, back in, I think it was then, back in the like mid-90s, it came out with like a retro 900 street bike that kind of took the same Ninja motors and put them on a more retro frame. I don't think they do those anymore. But yeah, well, once you get a taste of that speed, it sure is fun. They were talking about that Hayabusa, said that it, I think Daniel quoted that it would do 75 in first gear. That old 900 I have, I could be doing 65 and drop it down in second. You know, like Dave was saying, you got to hold on because the front end was coming up. It's probably best I don't have anything like that anymore because I've made it to a ripe old age and don't know if I would have otherwise. Or
for CPA. Yeah, well, I don't ride as much as I used to. I'm 67. The only thing I don't like about the, well, two things actually I don't like about the Valkyrie that I didn't know at the time. It's a teeny bit compared to an 1100. It's a little top heavy. I guess that's because of the engine. And even though it's a horizontally opposed six cylinder, the cylinders are, you know, at the lowest point. But for some reason, it's a little more top heavy than the 1100. And you can't take the curves quite as you can't, you know, lean it over quite as far, or you'll hit the foot pegs, which I've done on the 1100. So I definitely did it on the Valkyrie when I first got it. I realized real fast that you know, you can't do that. So anyway, but it is comfortable. I mean, golly, you can just cruise on it all day, and it's real comfortable to ride. I used to get a little saddle weary on the 1100 and have to get off of it and walk around for about 20 minutes after riding it for 2 to 3 hours. So the Valkyrie, it's got a real comfortable seat, and it really makes a difference.
I didn't realize those 1100s were horizontally opposed sixes. I think the 1100s back in those days were still inline fours, I believe. And what size is the Valkyrie? Is that a big one too?
It's a 1500.
I rode a Kawasaki 1300 when they first come out, test drove one. I'm a little teeny white boy, and that was like way too much bike for me. That 900 was 5 1/4 dry weight, and laid it down a couple of times, a few times. It took everything I had to get it back up on two wheels and get going again. Luckily, I never trashed it real bad, so I was able to get it back up and take off again. But yeah, I don't know that I'd do something that big and that heavy, because I'd have to recruit some help if I laid it down over.
I'd definitely have to have some help picking it up. I couldn't do it by myself. Maybe I could have 20 years ago, but not now. And I'm sure it would have taken some effort back then. But I remember we used to live in house in Traverse Rest in North Cliff subdivision, and we had a real steep driveway, and for some reason my bike had 1100 back then, and I was turning in the driveway. I don't know if I was in second instead of first or what, but the bike about a third of the way up, it just shut off, and I didn't have time to pull the clutch in. And it, you know, when a bike does that, it just front end just dips down, and my wheel was turned because I was still turning in, and it just, you know, I couldn't keep it from falling over. So and it was wanting to slide back down the driveway on its side, and it was going to scrape it all up. So I held on to the rear brake and got my phone out, or the front brake, and got my phone out, and called my wife inside, and I said, come out here and help me pick this thing up.
Roger that. You know, and I know the point of them is not to put them down on the ground, but, you know, ran into a couple of situations just like you talked about that were, like, it's kind of inevitable. I'd have to get next to mine and get one hand under the bottom handlebar and the other hand on the front of the top handlebar, and just, like I said, it was everything I could do to get that thing back up on two wheels. And yeah, anything more than that, I don't think I'd have been able to done it. But man, that was sure a fun bike. I drove it from Baton Rouge to Savannah several times, and my first time, I got off in Savannah, and I vibrated for a couple of days after that, and I decided right then that we need to see about taking care of that. So when I got back home, I put it in the shop and got new tires and had the rims trued up and had some other maintenance stuff done, you know, fork seals and that kind of stuff, just getting it back in tip-top shape. And, yeah, the next time I went to Savannah, it was like night and day difference. It's just a totally different bike after that. As big as that thing was, you had to watch the foot pegs every now and then, but it, as big as that bike was, it was sure lay down in the corners. Anyway, David, I got to get back to work here. So good talking to you, and I'm sure we'll hear you around here again. KB4CBA, KN4CHY, I'll be clear after yours.
If my bike hadn't been on that driveway, you know, going up such a steep incline, I could have picked it up, but I was in a precarious position. Oh, me. But anyway, that was a good while back. Well, you have a good one, and enjoy talking with you. And I hope you have a good rest of the day. And we'll talk to you later, KN4CHY. This is KB4CPA. Clear.